Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So you know the story. The H1N1 influenza outbreak began in Mexico and caused all kinds of concern around the world, including in Washington.
Thus far, the strain in this country has not been as potent or as deadly. We can't know for certain why that is, which is why we are taking all necessary precautions in the event that the virus does turn into something worse.
Concern about fatalities taking place in Mexico, where the outbreak was centered, continued until last weekend, where the CDC's Dr. Richard Besser said maybe it's the case that the virus isn't that significant outside of Mexico.
As we learn more about how widespread this is, it may be that the rates of severe disease in Mexico will end up being not different than what we see here.
26 people have died of the flu in Mexico, while only 2 have died here in the United States. But what are the public health lessons for a 21st century flu outbreak, which suggests both about the way information is transmitted as well as viruses are transmitted? We're joined now by Dr. Julio Frank, who's the former Mexican Minister of Health and now Dean of the Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Frank, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
It seems to me there are a lot of lessons here from a purely public health perspective, both about information transmission and virus transmission. What's at the top of your list?
Well, first of all, what we've learned is that no matter how prepared we are, we can never exactly predict when an epidemic and where an epidemic is going to occur. The world had been expecting an event like this at least since 2003 after the SARS outbreak. We knew we were due for an outbreak of human influenza, but all eyes were turned to Asia. Everyone thought that's where it was going to appear, and it appeared in the Americas. So the lesson, the number one lesson, is everyone needs to be prepared because no one knows exactly when and where something like this is going to happen.
Now, Asia, of course, has had the incidence of SARS and avian flu. Yet, you know, it's easy to get into a situation where you think, all right, population density, population centers are the place where these kinds of outbreaks begin. Is the fact that Mexico City, 16 million population, is so huge, does that suggest it's a suspect like other large cities in taking a look at where the outbreak might happen next?
Sure. I mean, large concentrations of human beings facilitate the transmission. Bear in mind that this virus is a new thing. It's a new entity. It didn't exist. And what has made this and still should be a cause for concern is the fact that it has sustained human-to-human transmission. This is the big difference with respect to the avian flu outbreaks that we saw in Asia since 2005. Those had very limited human-to-human transmission. The difference here is that it began to be transmitted, and it has proved to be sustained, and it has now spread to more than 20 countries. It is true that the epicenter is in Mexico, and especially in Mexico City, but the virus has been traveling around the world, and although fortunately it's less severe than we expected, I don't think we can still let our guard down because we don't know what will happen in the fall as the new flu season comes in the northern hemisphere. Also, bear in mind that right now in the southern hemisphere of this planet is entering into the regular flu season as they go into the fall and winter months. So we need to keep still as a world community a vigilant attitude with respect to how this particular outbreak is going to evolve. I don't think we're yet in a position where we can say this is over, we can now relax, not at all. I think without creating any sort of panic, we should, on the other hand, continue to be vigilant.
Dr. Frank, what do you think the public health infrastructure in, say, Mexico City has learned from this? What are, you know, if there is, for example, a bad seasonal flu coming up, you just mentioned the seasonal flus, what might they do differently?
Once we do the full dissection of what has happened in this opportunity, I think it will become clear that detecting an abnormality like this against the backdrop of regular seasonal flu that, you know, Mexico causes about 10,000 deaths every year. The first cases here obviously appeared while we were still at the tail end of the regular flu season. And you require a pretty refined surveillance system to be able to detect, you know, in this case, a few cases against the backdrop of a regular flu season in a country of 110 million people. And in my opinion, the surveillance systems did work because they detected the anomaly that most of the deaths were occurring in healthy young adults, which is not what happens with regular flu. And that's what's got the alarms off, set the alarms off, and set in motion the steps that took within a few weeks to the full genetic sequencing and the realization that we were in the face of a whole new virus.
So early detection was really favorable here, but how do you track the public awareness, which rippled around the world almost immediately? It seems to me the information public health message here is when Dr. Sanjay Gupta comes to town from CNN and starts broadcasting 24 hours a day, you have to be really worried if you're a Mexico City public health authority.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very delicate balance between not providing full disclosure in order not to worry people, and on the other hand, going to the other extreme of creating undesirable effects of undue worry or even paralysis of economic activity. It's a very, very tough balance to achieve. I think my scorecard in this case is I think the alarm level was raised enough that the world reacted, and probably the reason we're not seeing many more cases and deaths is because countries have responded. I think in the case of Mexico, it was particularly valuable that the president, Mr. Felipe Calderón, personally headed the response to the emergency, because that sent a signal to the population that this was serious. And it was and still is a serious matter. As I said, the worst-case scenarios have not materialized, but let's not forget that in 1918, the initial outbreaks in the spring died out during the summer, the humid summer months, and then came back with a vengeance in the fall. We need to be preparing now, particularly for immunization in the fall months. The preparation for the vaccine against this specific strain is already underway, and we need to keep the surveillance measures with very clear communication to the population. I think alongside the epidemic, or to deal with an epidemic like this, the two major pillars are good surveillance and clear, transparent, and precise, and right, timely communication.
Well, it's a very relevant experiment and sort of pilot study that probably students at the Harvard School of Public Health will be looking at all year now. Dr. Julio Frank is the former Mexican Minister of Health from 2000 and 2006. He's also the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, joining us here on The Takeaway from Boston. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you.